All right, everybody, good morning. If y'all would stand as we begin worship together. Before we start this, I'd just like to say that God takes care of his children, doesn't he? And I'd also like to say that I've seen it in my life, and I'm sure y'all have seen it in yours, but you can always go to him, and he will always find a way for you. And you don't know what to do, go to him for wisdom and guidance. And even when you don't see it, somehow God makes a way, doesn't he? Amen. We're reaching out to welcome you, God. Fill this place again with your song and flood our thoughts with wonder and awe. Give us a greater glimpse of a never-changing God. All we want and all we need is found in you, is found in you. Jesus, every victory is found in you, found in you. Whoa, 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 whoa. Open wide our hearts now to yours. Every fear bow down to your love, that we would see like never before. Give us a greater glimpse of a never-changing God. All we want and all we need is found in you, found in you. Jesus, every victory found in you, found in you. Till all we want and all we need found in you is found in you. Jesus, every victory is found in you, found in you. Oh, oh, oh. Whoa, 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 whoa. In your presence there is freedom. In your presence we are made whole. In your presence there is freedom. In your presence we are made whole. All we want, all we want and all we need is found in you, found in you. Jesus, every victory is found in you, found in you. All we want and all we need is found in you, found in you. Jesus, every victory is found in you, is found in you. Whoa, 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 whoa. Turn to your neighbor and say, good morning, how you doing?
All right. Let's settle back in, find our seats. We're going to focus on the scripture for a second before we continue in worship. Thank you.
Good morning. This morning I'm going to be reading from Psalm 119, verses 9 through 16. How can a young man keep his way pure? By keeping it according to your word. With all my heart I have sought you. Do not let me wander from your commandments. Your word I have treasured in my heart that I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips I have told of all the ordinances of your mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and regard your ways. I shall delight in your statutes. I will not forget your word. Please remain standing as we continue to worship.
My Jesus, my Savior, Lord, there is none like you. All of my days, I want to praise the wonders of your mighty love. My comfort, my shelter, tower of refuge and strength. Let every breath, all that I am, never cease to worship you. Shout to the Lord. Shout to the Lord, all the earth, let us sing. Power and majesty, praise to the King. Mountains bow down and the seas will roar at the sound of your name. I sing for joy at the word of your hand. Forever I love. Nothing compares to the promise I have in you. My Jesus, my Savior, Lord, there is none like you. All of my days, I want to pray. The wonders of your mighty love. My comfort, my shelter, tower of refuge and strength. Let every breath, all that I am, never cease. Shout to the Lord, all the earth, let us sing. Power and majesty, praise to the King. Mountains bow down and the seas will roar at the sound of your name. I sing for joy at the of your hands. Forever I'll love you, forever I'll stand. Nothing compares to the promise I have. Nothing compares to the promise I have. Nothing compares to the promise I have in you. Draw me close.
never let me go. I lay it all down again to hear you say that I'm your friend. You were my desire, nothing else will do. Nothing else could take your place. To feel the warmth of your embrace, help me find the way and bring me back to you. You're all I want, you're all I want, you're all my desire. No one else will do, 'cause nothing else can take your place. To feel the warmth of your embrace, help me find a way, bring me back to you.
To be yours.
our living hope.
Y'all sing it right to him.
Your presence. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of loves, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. In your presence. Oh, oh, Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts have longed for. To be overcome by your presence, Lord. Your presence, Lord.
Let us become.
Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness, O Lord. Holy Spirit, you are
Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Jesus, thank you that you are here in this place with us this morning. Lord, I pray that we would surrender ourselves to you, no matter the circumstance, whether it's a mountaintop or a valley, that we would give all praise to you at all times, because you are good. Lord, and we go to you for guidance and for wisdom. And here this morning, we open our hearts to receive anything you have for us, Father. We lay ourselves down at your feet. We love you, Father. In your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Well, good morning. I have this it's a life proverb. I'm going to call it a life proverb. You're going to hear that a lot this morning. I have this life proverb that I kind of live by right now. And here's how it goes. It starts off, Redeemer 2.0. Might as well have fun, exclamation point. And so whenever I do my daily to-do list, I do it on a piece of paper and do my day, I put it on the top just to kind of remind myself. And I call it it's a life proverb. It's not necessarily scriptural, but the idea behind it is it's kind of a mental motto, if you will, that kind of guides what I do for the day, kind of guides what decisions I make and the things that I do. And so that's kind of my life proverb right now that I'm using is Redeemer, can't pronounce, it's going to be a long sermon if I can't get that one out. Redeemer 2.0, might as well have fun. We all, whether you realize it or not, we all kind of have these little life proverbs. Some of them are written, like mine, on a piece of paper. Some of them are mental pictures that you have in your head or mental mottos that you have in your head. The one that all week I kept thinking this on the back of my head, go to bed early. No, go to bed late, get up early. No, I can't even remember now. But it ends in fish all day and make up lies. What is that one? I just lost it. I was all week. I had it in my head. I lost it. But anyway, so people have these little mottos that they kind of live by. Honesty is the best policy. You have these little mottos that you go by. People do this. We all do this. A lot of people don't even know that they have them. And it's not good or evil or bad. It's not necessarily a good or bad thing. It's just something that we do. It's a life proverb that we use that kind of guides our behavior. And this morning, what I want to challenge you, what I'm going to ask you to do in the early part of the sermon, you know, usually I wait to the end to get you involved, but today's going to be totally different. I'm getting you involved right up the front. So if you have one of your sermon notes, I invite you to pull that out and get out a pen, or if you have a device, get that out. And I want you to write down, what is your basic life proverb? What is the proverb that you basically use? And I know that's a deep thought this early. I get it. I understand. But I need you to write that down, because as we go through the sermon this morning, we're going to kind of reference back to that a number of times. And so I just want you to think through, what is your life proverb right now? And I told you mine was Redeemer 2.0, might as well have fun. But what's yours? Is it something that has to do with work? Is it has something to do with your family? A lot of people have ones that family is the most important thing. That's some people's life motto. There's a lot of different ones that are out there that you could use, but I want you to write down, what is your life motto? It's not a good or bad thing. I'm not going to be critical about it. I just want you to think about it, because what we're going to do this morning is we're going to compare our life motto against a standard. Because here's the problem, is that a lot of times people latch on to these trendy proverbs. People in our culture, they latch on to these trendy proverbs, and then they kind of hold them and they embrace them. And a lot of times the basis upon which they hold on to those life proverbs is just that it sounds good in their ears. You know, it's like it sounds good, so it must be true. You know, people follow these just because the way that they sound in their ears, or they also they follow them because it seems like everybody else is doing it. You know, it's strange, because it's the whole herd mentality idea. It's like, well, if everybody's doing it, it must be right. And nobody stops and asks the people in the herd, like, do you know where you're going? Do you know what you're doing? No, I'm just following Joe. I'm just following Susie. But people get the idea in their head that if everybody is doing this, then this must be right. And so a lot of people that we know, people that we love, they follow these life proverbs because they sound good, or because a lot of people that they know are following them. But how do we know if that life proverb is actually genuine wisdom? Like, how do we know for sure? How do we know if this motto that we have as we're living is actually genuine wisdom? How do we know? And this morning what I'm going to do is I'm going to walk us through the book of Proverbs. And we're starting a series in the book of Proverbs, and so that's where we're going to go. If you have your Bibles, I invite you to turn with me to the book of Proverbs. And what happens in the book of Proverbs, chapter 2, is likely Solomon writes the benefits of genuine wisdom. And so we're going to look at the first couple of verses in Proverbs 2. But what we're going to do is we're going to take our life motto and compare it up against the effects of genuine wisdom. And we're going to use that to determine if our life motto is actually genuine wisdom. So that's where we're headed. So Proverbs chapter 2, verses 1 through 8 is where we're going to be this morning. I invite you to turn there with me. And all along, I'm going to keep posing the question to you, how do we know if we have discovered genuine wisdom? How do we know? What are the markers that we look for to discover genuine wisdom? And the first thing that we're going to see is in chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. And it's related to the idea of where we find, how we came across that wisdom. It's related to that concept. Let me explain it a little bit to you. Proverbs chapter 2, verse 1, my child. So this proverb is being addressed to a child. Now, something that's important for you to understand for future things is that each of the ancient Near Eastern cultures around Israel at this time had this wisdom literature format where they would address something to a son from a father. But all of them, with the exception of what we're reading today, all of those were actually just superior to inferior person relationships. King, vassal, could be a boss or a worker. They were not necessarily family relations. They were just, that was just the terminology that they used. But the book of Proverbs is a little bit different. When it says son here, he's actually talking about a family relationship. He's actually talking about wisdom that he's giving, the father is giving to his son. Similar to what the other ancient Near Eastern cultures were doing, but distinct. That's an important thing. Well, you'll see that in the months and years to come. But he says, my child, listen to what I say. So likely Solomon here, the author, is writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and he's telling his child, his son, to listen to what I'm telling you. He's giving him an instruction saying, I want you to pay attention. Stop looking at the things that are going on in your life. Stop, look at me, and listen to what I'm telling you. Let's keep going. He says, and treasure my commands. The word treasure here means to store up, to put into a safe place, to regard something as valuable so that you put it in a safe location. He's saying, treasure my commands. And so as the father is talking to the son, he's saying, listen, the things that I'm telling you, do some work and get them in a safe place. Treasure my commands. Verse 2, tune your ears for wisdom, or cause your ears to tune into the channel, if you will, of what I'm telling you, the wisdom that I'm giving you. And concentrate, the last part of verse 2, and concentrate on understanding. It's the idea of turning your heart to understanding. And so the author here is talking to his son. He's giving him all these things that he needs him to do. He wants them to do. Verse 3, cry out for insight. He tells them to raise up his voice and call for it. Like, hey you, wisdom, come here. I want your attention. I want you. End of verse 3, it says, and ask for understanding. Do something to obtain understanding. Request it from someone. Verse 4, search for them as you would for silver. The idea here is silver's not just laying out on the ground. You got to dig for it. You got to find it. You got to go mine it. You got to pull it out of the ground. Discover it as you would for silver and seek it like hidden treasures. And all throughout these verses, the Father is calling the Son to seek and to search for and to discover and to mine these tidbits of wisdom that he's giving him. So the question that I want to ask you is, what are these verses teaching us about how we can know if our life proverb is genuine wisdom? What are these verses saying? What is the Father saying to the Son? What is the message that's being communicated here as to how we can determine if something is genuine wisdom? I'm not going to answer that for you, but I'm going to give you a hint. Okay, ready? Here's the hint. Here comes the hint. Let's say you are out shopping for a Chanel handbag. I don't know why you would do that, but let's say you did. It's a French handbag, very expensive. Let's say you're going, and you're on your way to the store, and somebody runs up to you on the street, and they offer you a Chanel handbag for $50. If you don't know anything about Chanel handbags, they do not cost $50. Okay, just heads up. That's what it is. So somebody on the street offers to sell you a Chanel handbag for $50. What is that handbag? It's counterfeit. It's not genuine. It's not real. See, we know that. We know that when it comes to a Chanel handbag. And the same thing can be true of wisdom. The same thing is true of the concept of wisdom. If wisdom is something that it's obtained easily, if wisdom is something that we just get really quickly, it's probably not genuine wisdom. Because genuine wisdom is gleaned. That's the point that the author is trying to make in these Proverbs. He's telling his son to store up. He's telling to mine for it, to discover it, to dig for this wisdom. And for the most part, wisdom is something that you have to glean. It's something you have to work for. Genuine wisdom is not something that just shows up on your kitchen table and says, "Here I am, take me." Wisdom is something you have to work at. So now as you think about this life proverb that you've put together, as you compare that, I want you to ask yourself, is my life proverb gleaned? Is it something that I had to dig and actually had to find, or is it something that I read on a coffee cup? Is this life proverb something that I really had to study and learn and try to figure out if it's true, or is it just something that you heard someone say after reading a greeting card? I just want you to begin to think, your life proverb, is it something that you had to glean? Is it something you had to work at to find? Or is it something that you just found randomly? Because genuine wisdom is gleaned. It really is. So how do we know when we've discovered genuine wisdom? How do we know? We've talked about here already that genuine wisdom is gleaned. And then we go on to the next two verses, verses 5 and 6. And we're going to see something else. It's going to be related to the fact of where you got the wisdom from is important. Verse 5 says this. It says, "Then you will understand," if you search for it, if you tune your ear to it, if you work for it, "then you will understand what it means to fear the Lord." Then once you have this wisdom, once you've obtained it, you'll understand what it means to be in a right relationship with God. God is awesome, and you are not. You are in a humble position before God. You understanding that fear of God. Wisdom will teach you that. You will understand what it means to fear the Lord, the last part of verse 5. And you will gain knowledge of God. You will gain information about who God is. In verse 6, "For the Lord grants wisdom." The Lord is the source of wisdom. The Lord is the location where wisdom is, and then out from him comes wisdom. The last part of the verse says, "From his mouth come knowledge and understanding." It's not saying necessarily from his literal mouth, but it's a poetic anthropomorphism is what it's called, and it's giving God a human character, and it's saying from God's mouth comes knowledge and understanding. But the point is that the knowledge and understanding comes out from God into people. So the question is how do we know when we've discovered genuine wisdom? What do these two verses here teach us about how we know when we've discovered genuine wisdom? What is what are these verses trying to say? Let me give you a little bit of a hint. Let me give you a little bit of a hint as you're kind of working through that. Let's say I was thirsty. Really thirsty. I need something to drink. I said, "Hey, would somebody get me something to drink?" And Cameron comes running up, and he's got his hands cupped like this, and he comes running up, and he's like, "Here you go, Pastor Forrest." And he's like, "I went into the storm drain, and I got some water for you." Okay, put yourself in my shoes. Okay, are you drinking that water? No. Why not? Because this is a nice way of putting it, but the farther the water is away from the source, the more possibility there is for it to get contaminated. As soon as that drop forms in the cloud and flies down through our atmosphere that we have, for the most part, polluted, it picks up junk. And then when it lands on the ground and it rolls towards the storm drain, it's picking up all this other junk. And it goes into the storm drain. Haven't spent a lot of time in storm drains, but I've cleaned a couple of gutters out, and I know they're not good places to be. They're not clean places. So then Cameron puts it in his hand, and then he brings it to me, and I don't know whether Cameron's washed his hands or not, you know. So it's like the farther the way something is from the source, the more likely it is contaminated. So then let me pose the question to you again. I've given you some time to think about it. What are these verses teaching about how to know if you've found or discovered genuine wisdom? And what we're going to see, what we're seeing, these verses are teaching is that genuine wisdom is granted. God gives, God is the source of wisdom. And just like the water, there can be some truth to that wisdom as it goes along. But the farther it gets away from the force, the source, the more likely it is to be contaminated. So the question is, as we're looking at our life proverb, is this close to the source? Is this something God said? Is it something that God communicated? Or is it something that somebody heard and kind of passed along, and then somebody else heard and passed along, and all the way down the line? It doesn't make it wrong. It's just we got to keep that dynamic in mind, because genuine wisdom is granted from God. He's the source. So how do we know if we have discovered genuine wisdom? First of all, we've seen genuine wisdom is something that's gleaned. We have to work for it. Second of all, it's something that's granted by God. And then the last two verses that we're going to look at here today are verses 7 and 8. And it's going to have to do with the outcome of that wisdom. Verse 7, he grants a treasure of common sense to the honest. He, God there, grants a treasure of common sense to the honest. So if a person is honest, there are some benefits to just being plain old honest. Honesty is the best policy, right? I mean, that's just a common thing. But what this verse is saying is more than that. He's saying God gives a treasure of common sense to the people that are honest. Not only is being honest a smart thing to do, but God over and above grants common sense to the people that are honest. The next part of that verse, it says, he is a shield to those who walk with integrity. Modern business practices say integrity is the best way to interact with your customers and your fellow businesses. It's better to have integrity. It's a better way to do it. We understand that concept. It's true. It's better to function with integrity. But in addition to that, this verse says that God is a shield to those who walk with integrity. Verse 8, same thing. He guards the path of the just. Being just is a wise thing to do. But if you're just, God guards the path of the person who is. And he protects those who are faithful to him. It makes sense to be faithful to God. It's a smart way to live. But in addition to that, God protects them. In each of these four lines, there are two things going on. being wise, doing the right things in those situations is definitely the best way to go. But in addition to that, God intervenes and protects and helps and shields people who live according to it, above and beyond what it is that's wise about it. So what are these verses teaching us about how to know whether you've discovered genuine wisdom? What are these verses saying? What are these verses communicating about how do you know when you have a life proverb? How do you know if it's genuine wisdom? How do you know that for sure? What are these verses saying? I'll answer that in a minute, but while you're working on it, let me give you a hint. Let's just say you decided that you wanted to buy a dog for your family to protect your family, a guard dog. And one of the best guard dogs right now is the Belgian Malinois. And it looks like a German Shepherd. All the canine units, the police units, and all the military uses these dogs a lot. And they're very expensive dogs. They're very loyal dogs. They're good guard dogs. And if you see one of these guys in a person's house, you're going to be scared. And that's what their job is. But let's say you bought one of these things. A puppy will set you back about $1,500. So you bought one of these things, and you probably should have it trained because they're working. It's a working breed, so you should probably have it trained. So you got to spend a couple thousand to get it. To get it trained, and you have this $4,000 or $5,000 dog, and you bring it home, and it bites your family. It just bites your family. What are you going to do with the dog? Oh, now listen, it looks like a guard dog. It looks like it. It sounds like a guard dog, but it isn't doing what it's supposed to do. What are you going to do with it? You might try, if you can, to get it retrained. But eventually, if it's just not going to do what you need it to do, you're going to get rid of it. And that's the point of what the author is trying to make in these Proverbs. Genuine wisdom works. It works. If it's genuine, it has an outcome that actually works. Not only is it good and does it make sense because it makes sense, but also God intervenes in the situation and God produces a result that's beneficial. So as we think about our life proverb, then the question is does this life proverb guard? Because genuine wisdom guards. That's what it does. Genuine wisdom has a guarding perspective. And so as you're talking about this genuine wisdom, and as you're talking about this life proverb, and as you're looking at it, you got to ask yourself, does this guard me? As I've lived my life according to this life motto, has it actually resulted in my life being better? Has it achieved for me getting me out of trouble or keeping me from getting into trouble? Has it caused God to intervene in my life and help me? Because genuine wisdom guards. If it's genuine, it guards. So what we've been trying to do as we've been working through this is I've posed the question, how do we know when we've discovered genuine wisdom? How do people know? How is somebody going to know that the motto that they're living by, that the life proverb that they're living by is actually genuine wisdom? And that's a relevant question because there are so many life mottos out there. There's so many, if you go online and you look up life mottos, it's just crazy, all the stuff that's out there. There's so many different things that are out there. And so how do we know if the life motto we've chosen is one that's actually genuine wisdom? How do we know that? And one of the things that the Proverbs helps us, this Proverbs chapter 2 helps us with, is it shows that if it's genuine wisdom, it's probably something you've gleaned. It's not something you got easily. You probably had to work to get it. If it's genuine wisdom, it's been granted. It's come from God, either directly or indirectly, but it has a strong connection to the source of true wisdom. And if it's genuine wisdom, it has a guarding perspective. It actually works in your life. And I told you that at the beginning, I told you that my life motto right now, or my life proverb right now, is Redeemer 2.0, might as well have fun. And I told you that's what mine was. And I told you that because I want you to really think about, and I want you to ponder, are your life mottos something that actually is genuine wisdom. So if you put down one of those life mottos, I just want you to look at it for a second. I want you to ask yourself, is this life motto genuine wisdom? Is the life motto that you've put together, as I've told you what the criteria is and we've worked it, is it genuine wisdom? And let's assume for a second that all of us have a life motto that was genuine wisdom. Let's assume that. And here's the final question. If that is life wisdom, if that is genuine wisdom, where are your friends, your family, your neighbors, the lady who takes your money at the gas station, the grocery store clerk that checks out your groceries, where are those people going to hear genuine wisdom? Where are people in this neighborhood going to hear genuine wisdom? Are they going to see it on a news feed? Well, they're just reporting news. They're not trying to spout wisdom. Are they going to see it on Facebook? They might. Are they going to hear it on a greeting card or on a coffee cup? Where are people going to see and hear genuine wisdom? Even if you're a piece of genuine wisdom, even if your life proverb isn't genuine wisdom, where are the people in your life going to hear it? One of the places that I hope they hear it is here at Redeemer. That's where I hope. I hope they hear it. Today is the last Sunday of my first year here at Redeemer. This is my last Sunday of the first year. So next year starts off year two. And you don't really know all of what's planned for year two, but I'm going to tell you what it is. Year two is going to be nuts. It's going to be absolutely crazy. As I'm looking at everything that's going on, I'm thinking, my brother is a church planter. And he planted a church in Michigan. And everybody in his church did like backbreaking work every Sunday to put up and set down and all this stuff. It was backbreaking work to plant a church. Turning around a church is even harder. It's more work. So I'm gonna ask you individually and maybe sometimes corporately to give blood, sweat, and tears. That's what I'm gonna ask you. I'm gonna ask you all to give everything that you can to turn around and redeem. I'm gonna ask you to do that. But until that day comes when I actually ask you that, here's what I need you to do. Get ready. Get ready. If you're a believer and you're here and you're harboring a sin in your life, If you're just kind of holding on to something that you know you shouldn't be doing, but you're still doing it, stop it. Just stop it. Whatever it is, just stop it. Stop doing it. If you have, over the time, if you have drifted from the Lord, get back to Him. Get back over to Him. If you're out of shape, go to the gym. Seriously, we've got a lot of work to do. And I'm going to need all of your help. Redeemer 2.0 is going to be fun, one way or the other. But we're going to need a ton of help to do it. We are. Get ready. Because my hope is, and I think deep down each of you want it as well, there are fewer and fewer and fewer places every day where people can go and hear genuine wisdom. And there is a lot of really not bright things that are out there. There are a lot of people saying, this is the truth, and this is the right way to do things, and this is this and this, and the places that are speaking truth are getting less and less. We have an awful lot of work to do, and I'm going to ask you to help me. In the meantime, get ready. If you are here this morning, you are not a believer. If you are not in an intimate relationship with God, come and see me after the service. I would love to talk to you about how you can have an intimate relationship with God. How you can have a real, vibrant relationship with the God who created this wonderful universe. After the service, if you need someone to pray, if you're a believer, or even if you're not a believer, but you need someone to pray with you, come on up front. There's people who would love to pray with you. There's people, I'm pretty sure, that they have been waiting all week for the opportunity to pray for you this morning. So give them a chance. They would love. We're going to move now into a time of communion. And what we do in communion is it allows us the opportunity to remember what Christ has done for us so that we can be in a position to have an intimate relationship with God, that we can be in a position to have genuine wisdom in our lives. And if you didn't get one of these disposable communion cups, just raise your hand. We've got some guys that will hand it out to you. But this is a time of remembrance for us. This is a time where we reflect back on the fact that because of what Christ did for us on the cross, he removed, because of our faith, he removed our sin so that we could have an intimate relationship with God. Which is a wonder. If you've never experienced that, it's a wonderful dynamic thing. Their struggles some days are hard, but there's no better way to live. But it's only possible through what Christ did for us. And so what we do on these times, we call this the Lord's table, and it's a time where we remember the bread that Jesus broke, which was a symbolism, which was a symbol for the fact that Jesus would later that night allow his body to be broken for us. And so he, on the night when he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took some bread, and when he had broke it, he said, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And in the same way, after supper, he took the cup. And he said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood." Later that night, he would allow men to crucify him, a brutal, brutal way to die, to demonstrate to us just how much he loved us. And he says, "This is my blood of the new covenant. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And then he closed with, "For every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you are announcing the Lord's death until he comes again."
Let's stand and sing together one more time.
And all we need is found in you, found in you. Jesus, every victory is found in you, found in you.
Sing it again.
All we want and all we need is found in you, found in you. Jesus, every victory is found in you, found in you. In your presence there is freedom. In your presence we are made whole. In your presence there is freedom. In your presence we are made whole. 'Cause all we want and all we need is found in you, is found in you. Jesus, every victory is found in you, is found in you.
If you need someone to talk to or pray with after the service, please come on forward. I'd love to have an opportunity to pray with you if that is something that you would need. Now all glory to God who is able, according to his mighty power at work within us, to accomplish infinitely more than all we might ask or think. All glory to him in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, for forever and ever. Amen. See you next week.